Book of James, chapter 1, all the way to the right of your New Testament. I'd invite you to turn there, read along with us, so you can see with your own eyes what the Scripture has to say about a very important topic that touches all of our lives as Christians every single day. I've entitled our message this morning, Temptation. Lord, your word is many things to us. It's our bread, spiritual food that makes us stronger, equips us, gives us nourishment. Your word is also a love letter, written from you to us. It tells us how much you love us. And your word is also, Lord, a safety manual. A book that warns, that gives us information that keeps us safe in this life. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. May we take heed, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, James told us that we can expect to face many different kinds of trials in this life as Christians. Big trials, medium trials, small trials, trials that come from an external source, internal trials. We'll face many trials as Christians because we are Christians. They are to be expected. Trials are inevitable. And we're to hold on to Jesus through them, persevere through them, allow those trials to make us better, stronger, more effective as witnesses for Jesus Christ. So we can expect trials. Well, we can also expect to face temptation in this life as Christians. The temptations to do that which is evil, to disobey the Lord, to sin. And we can get in a lot of trouble if we succumb to temptation. So it's important that we learn how to resist, how to overcome when we face temptation. And that's the topic today. What James says in verse 13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So just as trials are inevitable in life, so are temptations. We will all face temptation. In verse 13, James does not say, let no one say if he is tempted. He says, let no one say when he is tempted. It's not if, it's when. Temptations are all around us every single day. We live in a sin-soaked world. The devil is always placing temptation to sin in front of us. We are tempted to lie, to steal, to cheat, to gossip, the temptation to commit sexual immorality. It bombards us all day, every day. It's something you will deal with for as long as you live. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. The temptation to sin will be there. So, how do we resist? I want to mention four truths this morning that will help us as we consider temptation. And number one is very important. Listen very carefully. When it comes to temptation, you need to understand something about yourself. You need to recognize that there is a great danger within you to sin. You need to recognize that we all have a propensity within us that wants to sin. Take that serious. Be vigilant. Take personal responsibility for the way you choose to live and the things that you choose to do. There are a lot of people that do not take sin seriously. In fact, I know a lot of Christians that don't take sin very seriously. It's just sort of whatever. And I know a lot of Christians that just sort of hide behind excuses when it comes to sin. And I know a lot of folks that like to play the blame game when it comes to sin. Oh, a person sins and they blame someone else. There are people that even blame God when they sin. And that's what James says don't do in verse 13. He says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. And yet people sin and then they blame God. Wait a minute, God doesn't tempt you. In fact, it says very clear in verse 13, God cannot be what? Tempted by evil, nor does he himself what? Tempt anyone. Did you know it's impossible for God to tempt you? Because it's impossible for God to be tempted. One author says that God is unable to be tempted. He is untemptable. God is unsusceptible to evil. Evil has never had any appeal for him. It's repugnant and abhorrent to him. Evil cannot promote even the slightest appealing tug in the heart of God. Therefore, God has never tempted us to sin because he cannot. It's a moral impossibility. So if you're tempted to sin and you sin, don't blame God. And yet many people do. In fact, the first sin of the human race was blamed on God. Did you know that? You remember the story? God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, beautiful marriage, everything's perfect. And God said to Adam, you can eat of any tree except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent came along, deceived Eve. She ate of it. Then she gave it to her husband, and he ate with eyes wide open, and they fell into sin, and the blame game started. You remember? Eve, why did you do that? Well, the serpent made me do that. Adam, why did you do that? And you remember Adam said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. I'll bet that was a pretty good first marital fight, don't you? He blamed Eve. But then he even went on beyond that. Did you notice he blamed the Lord? He said, the woman whom you gave to be with me. Blaming God. And people do that still to this day. The stories I've heard from Christians. This idea that God is sovereign. He ordains everything. So he puts us in circumstances that cause us to sin. He put us in that store all by ourselves with the cash register wide open. I couldn't help it. It was God who caused me to meet that person at work that I couldn't resist sexually. It's God's fault, people say. I can't help it. I have a disposition. God created me with these desires. It's his fault. No, don't blame God. God can't be tempted to sin, nor does he tempt anyone to sin. In fact, God is the one who provides a way out of all temptation. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Then people blame other people. There are people that blame the devil, like Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. I've met Christians. I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. Or they blame other people. Everybody else was doing it. I couldn't help it. They made me. Or, I can't help sinning. It's the way I was raised. It was my upbringing. It was my childhood, you see. If you are tempted to sin, and you sin, there's one person to blame, and you know who that is? You. And you need to understand that you have a tendency to want to sin. You need to be aware of that danger, and you need to be vigilant. Look what it says in verse 14. It's very clear. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The desire to sin is within. Or think of it this way. That which makes sin temptable is in you. You have a sinful nature. Your sinful nature wants to, as it says there in verse 4, draw you around and entice you. That word draw away, very strong in the Greek language. Literally, you have a sinful nature that wants to drag you away. This word entice means to be baited, to be entrapped. They're fishing terms. Baiting a hook, dangling in front of the little fishy. The little fishy comes out of his safe place, grabs the hook, dragged away. Our nature can be like that. Understand that. Never let down your guard. Amen? One author said James could not be more explicit. The source of temptation is not God or even the devil, but man's own sinful heart. Man is drawn away and then lured to the hook by his own lusts. He is accountable and no one else. If we are in the grip of lust, the fault is ours and ours alone. Yeah, there are temptations all over the place. The devil is dangling temptations all around, but the root of the problem is our sinful hearts. So understand that. Safeguard your life. Don't hide behind excuses. Don't blame others. You're not this helpless little twig floating downstream, having to go wherever the current leads you. You do have a choice. You have free will. And as a Christian, by the way, you have the Spirit living inside you. You have a new nature that you can listen to. But I think that's very important when it comes to temptation, to be aware. Secondly, when it comes to temptation, please, please consider the deadly consequences of sin before you commit it. Something may come into your life and it looks so tempting and you think, oh, that's going to be so good. It's going to make me so happy. But you know it's wrong? Yeah, it may look good at first, but it'll destroy you. Think about that ahead of time. Look what James says in verse 15. He says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth what? Death. There are two births in that verse. That's a chilling verse. Or another way to put it, you have a mother in that verse, and then you have a daughter in that verse, and then you have a granddaughter. The mother is your sinful nature. And if your sinful nature goes unchecked, it will give birth to a daughter, sin. And if that goes unchecked, that will give birth to the granddaughter, death. That's the process. Sinful desire, sin, death. And what a chilling imagery, giving birth to death. It's meant to be chilling. In other words, sin kills. Sin destroys. And let me just put it this way. It always kills. It always destroys. Listen, sin kills marriages. Sin kills families. Sin destroys physical health. Sin kills finances. Sin kills and destroys Christian witness. How does a person find himself with nothing left, living in a crack house? Strung out. How does a person get there? Does a person get there right overnight? No, it started when a person was tempted. Hey, let's try a new drug. Let's get a high. It'll feel good. And then that person continues to do that, and then that person continues to go to a stronger drug and eventually becomes hopelessly addicted. But at first, you don't think, listen, take a moment and look downstream. Fast forward life 5 years in your mind. It kills, it destroys. There are things that we are to avoid in Scripture. God says don't do because it keeps us safe, healthy. You know, I was talking to a nurse a few weeks ago, and she spent about 5 or 6 years working in a rehab unit, 6 years working with addiction, dealing with people who are drying out, who are going through the withdrawals of heroin, crack. The thing she saw, the suffering that you see. By the way, meth. In 6 years, she never saw anybody recover from meth. Hope you don't get there. It kills. Sin really does damage. Sexual sin. Tempted to have sex before marriage. STDs. Unwanted pregnancies. Temptation to have an affair. Say goodbye to your marriage, your family. A fact, if there's anyone that's in that place where they may be tempted in that way, I would invite you to pull out your old photo albums and to look at your kids when they were young. And to look at pictures of you all around the Christmas tree and the Thanksgiving table. If you go through with it, things are going to change. Sin kills. Sin can also destroy your health. Find yourself in an early grave because of sin. So please, take this whole thing of temptation and sin very seriously. Look downstream. Where does this decision lead in your life? And you can get very deceptive at this point because there's a lot of people, and a lot of us are like this. We think, well, it'll happen to someone else, but not me. That happens to other people. I'm smarter than other people. I can cover my tracks. Listen, the Bible says your sin will find you out. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. No exception. Here in verse 16, James says, do not be, what? Deceived, my beloved brethren. So, consider the consequences that can be devastating, even for Christians. Number three, when you are faced with temptation, consider God. Think about God. Think about His Word. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus. And more specifically, when you are tempted to sin, think about the goodness of God. Look what James says in verse 17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Isn't that a beautiful verse that tells us about the wonderful nature of our God? The language is very strong. It says, we have a God who is a constantly giving God, who's constantly pouring down good and perfect gifts upon us. Not just any gift, perfect gifts. Good gifts. My brother, my sister in Christ, think of the goodness of your Father. Think how good He is. How good He's been to you. And He doesn't change. He says there is no variation or shadow of turning with God. In other words, God is not moody. Aren't you glad? God is not a grumpy God. You never have to come to the Lord and wonder, what kind of mood is He in today? He's a good God. Just pouring goodness out upon us. As one author said, God's goodness is always at high noon. I love that. It's always shining bright. Why would you want to hurt Him? Why would you want to displease the one who's so good to you? Think about Him. Think about what He's done. Think about how much He loves you. Don't ever doubt the goodness of God. You know, there are times in life where things don't go as we expect them to go. even as Christians. There are lots of disappointments that we face in life. And it's at times like that that we even begin to question God's goodness. We think, oh, great, is God really good? And when we begin to question God's goodness, the temptation to sin comes along. And it's very easy to bite when you forget about his goodness. Never forget about his goodness. Even in the disappointing times of life, we have it better than everyone else. Amen? Think about him. Fix your eyes on him when the temptation comes. Spend time in prayer. As soon as you are tempted to sin, pray. Jesus said in Matthew 26, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray. Think of his word in times of temptation. In fact, Psalm 119 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's one of the best ways to guard against sin? God's word. Put it in your heart. When Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, how did he respond to the temptations of the devil? Do you remember what he did? He quoted scripture, didn't he? Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the things of the Lord. Look to him. And then fourth, and finally, when you are faced with temptation to sin, consider who you are in Jesus Christ. Consider your salvation. God is very good. And the best thing he's done in our lives is made it possible for us to be saved. And verse 18 describes that experience. It says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That is speaking about the salvation process. Listen, God, when he saved us, did a miracle, did amazing things. When you responded to the gospel, when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says here that you were brought forth by the word of truth. That's another birth term. You were born again. It says you became kind of like a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, as a Christian, you're extra special among God's creation. You're a member of his family. You're a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's who you are. Be that. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You've been given a brand new nature. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have a whole new power. The Bible says that when you give your life to Christ, you are freed from bondage to sin. You still have that sinful nature, but you're not a servant to it anymore. You're not a slave to it anymore. You've been freed. Now you really have a choice. Paul said in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to share that with the folks who are being baptized tonight. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are placed in a union with Jesus. You're baptized into him. You are joined to him forever. And you are identified with him in his death, and you are identified with him in his resurrection. You died with him. Your sin died. The old you died when you gave your life to Jesus. The new you has been raised to new life. And that is the picture of going under the water. It's a picture of what God did for you when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. The old you died, the new you lives. It's miraculous. There really is a new you. Remember who you are. Temptations are all around. Remember the danger within, my friend. Remember the deadly consequences. But look to God. Keep your eyes on him and remember who you are in Jesus. And my brother and sister in Christ, the moment you slip in this life, you come back to the Lord and you confess it. And get that fellowship right. Let's be safe. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we close. Bow your heads with me. Father, I pray. Lord, that you would intervene in lives right now. Maybe there are some here this morning who are right on the verge of making a very foolish decision in life. Rescue. Intervene. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to be vigilant day by day. Pray that we'd never let things become too routine in life. We look in your word, and quite often you're telling us to aggressively be ready to put on that armor day by day. To watch and pray. Help us, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning, perhaps, who has slipped away big time. Maybe that's you. Maybe you made that bad decision. You've blown it. Maybe you're even suffering the repercussions of that. Listen, there's a brand new start with Christ always. Come back to him. Come back to him this morning. Start afresh now. Let the rest of your life be what you know God wants it to be. Start now. If you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're not serving him, I invite you, come back now. All in. All in. He can repair. Lord, the Lord can redeem time. He really can. Come back to him. Could be that you're here this morning and you've never received Christ. You've never become born again. first step. You need to be a member of the family of God. You need to be a child in his family. I mentioned earlier how sin is deadly. Your sin must be forgiven. Your sin separates you from God, who's holy. But he's made it possible for your sin to be forgiven. He sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross for all your sin and rose again. And if you place your faith in him, oh, he'll wash away your sins. He'll make you a member of his family. He'll put his spirit in you. And then at least you have a fighting chance against the temptation that comes in your life. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, do it right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Let this be the cry of your heart, just quietly, silently in your heart as you pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. I want to be in your family. I want to know for sure. Wash away all my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Paying the price. I place my faith in you right now. Come into my life. Fill me with your spirit. Cleanse me. Make me a new creation right now, here this morning. If you prayed that prayer, listen, a miracle, a true miracle took place. You have become what the scripture calls born again. And I'd like you to have that opportunity to share that with one of us up here at the front. Just come forward, say, I prayed that prayer. We'd like to talk with you more. Perhaps you even need to get baptized tonight. Perhaps some of you would like to talk more about being baptized, or you have any other issues that you would like to talk with some of us about this morning, or you need prayer. We're going to be available up here at the front. Let's all stand.